Welcome to the Message Podcast from Church of the Nazarene. We invite you to subscribe for updates and new episodes. You can find us on most major podcast outlets. Visit cotnaz.org for more info. Our worship services stream weekly on Sundays at 9 a.m. on YouTube. You can also find our live stream at cotnaz.org. Our in-person service times are 9 and 10:30 a.m. We have a campus near Harrisonburg at 1871 Boyers Road. We also have a campus in East Rockingham at 414 South East Side Highway in Elkton. In addition, our Spanish-speaking campus meets on Sundays at 11:45 a.m. at that same 1871 Boyers Road location. Check out our website, cotnaz.org, for more info.
We're going to dive into God's Word together and have an awesome time. And Miss Beth is going to lead us in our teaching text this morning.
Our text today comes from Matthew 17, verses 24 through 27, and it reads this. After Jesus and his disciples arrived in Capernaum, the collectors of the 2 drachma temple tax came to Peter and asked, "Doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax?" "Yes, he does," Peter replied. When Peter came into the house, Jesus was the first to speak. "What do you think, Simon?" he asked. "From whom do the kings of the earth collect duty and taxes? From their own children or from others?" "From others," Peter answered. "Then the children are exempt," Jesus said to him. "But so that we may not cause offense, go to the lake and throw out your line. Take the first fish that you catch, open its mouth, and you will find a 4 drachma coin. Take it and give it to them for my tax and for yours."
If we're going to have a scripture passage about fishing, one must come prepared, right? I mean, come on, I've been waiting for this day for a long time. Eliza even let me borrow her My Little Pony pole, which it's really hard to use, by the way. Like, just going to say, it's challenging, but... There's some mojo with that thing. I'm going to tell you, I don't know. It's got to be the My Little Pony theme. That's what I'm guessing. So our teaching text, Jesus, he tells Peter to go fishing. So if you could just pull this out of context, if I could, it would just simply say, Jesus said, go to the lake and cast out a line. All right, I'm going, but there's more to the story, right? Jesus sends Peter to go fishing, and not only does he guarantee that he's going to catch something, which fishermen, like, you know, that's a miracle, because every time you go out, it's not a guarantee. It's not a guarantee you're going to catch something, but he says you're going to catch the first fish you catch, and not only is he going to catch something, the fish is going to have money in its mouth. I'm just saying, if I could do that on a regular, my employment status would change. I'm just saying. So, my fellow fishermen, like, have you ever caught a fish with strange things in its mouth? I was out Friday with a buddy, and I caught a bass that I could still see the pincers of a crayfish sticking out of its throat, right? Like, normal forage, you think fish and crayfish and different things, run-of-the-mill food chain stuff, right? Well, a few years ago, a friend and I had permission to fish this little farm pond out in Mount Crawford, other side of the county. In the evening there, barn swallows, or I'm not a bird guy, I'm assuming that's what they were, but we're going to call them swallows for today, came out and they would swirl around above the water and they would dive down and get those little spider-looking things that scoot across the water. And so they're dive bombing and picking up bugs off the surface, and as we're watching this go on, we see a bass come up and try to grab a bird, and we're like, no. So we stop what we're doing at this point and we just start to watch. And the birds keep going, and ultimately we see this bass come up and actually catches a bird and tries to take it down, and it's just flopping and carrying on all over the top of the water. The bird breaks free, but we're like, no way. These fish have figured out how to eat birds. Well, we eventually, and I don't remember if it was that trip or later, but we eventually caught a fish that had tail feathers sticking out of its throat. I found a picture. I mean, as you looked in that fish's mouth, you could see the tail feather sticking out where he had successfully caught a bird. For as interesting as that is, in all of my years of fishing, ever since I needed a pole this size, I have never caught a fish with a coin in its mouth. Not a penny, not a 20, not a bond or stock certificate, nothing. Nothing. You see, Peter, he was a professional fisherman too. I doubt seriously had ever seen money in a fish's mouth. You see, it's just not normal. But what we see in this passage is this is not an ordinary fishing expedition. This is a miracle of God's provision. We're going to continue today in part two of our teaching series called The Untold Stories of Jesus, where we're focusing in on stories that maybe we haven't looked deeply into before or haven't noticed or taught from the pulpit. And throughout this series, our goal is to look into these stories that are not literally untold, of course. I mean, we have them in Scripture, but they're a little lesser known or lesser understood from some of the other stories we find. We're focusing on these stories that perhaps we might come to understand more fully Jesus and his heart and his purposes for us as a result of this study. And so this morning, it's the story of one rich fish. Throughout the Scriptures, we see God provide miraculously for his people. Of course, in the Exodus narrative and the children of Israel in the wilderness, God gave manna and quail miraculously to feed his people, a whole nation. We see Jesus in the New Testament. He takes a few pieces of bread and a few fish, and he miraculously blesses that and multiplies it to feed thousands. Again and again, we see the Lord provide, and he is still providing today, friends. He's still providing. In our teaching text, God provides again, except this time through the mouth of a fish. Jesus sends Peter on a mission to catch a fish with a coin in its mouth. Remember, Peter was a professional fisherman, right? Before meeting Jesus, we're assuming that Peter would have had boats and nets and perhaps a whole crew, right, to run a professional operation. But Jesus doesn't send him back to what he's familiar with. He doesn't send him back to his nets. He says, no, go throw a hook and a line into water. I have to imagine for Peter, I mean, a rusty or a salty old seaworthy guy being told to go cast a line, he's thinking, I might as well take a My Little Pony pole with me. Right? Because he's used to boatloads of fish, and Jesus says, no, go get one. Go get one. I just had to feel like he was trucking down through there with his My Little Pony pole. But you see, this is not an ordinary fishing trip. This is a miracle. Now, for lots of reasons that you're probably all familiar with, this fishing part of the story is really fascinating to me. It's really neat. I have so many questions. But in reality, what we see in this text is that the fishing part of this story goes unresolved. You see, we don't ever see Peter actually going and doing this. We're left to assume that he did it and that it happened as Jesus said it would. You see, what happens is that the fishing story kind of fades away into a bigger picture that's going on. The picture of why Jesus performed this miracle. You see, we do see God is able to provide. Jesus provides miraculously for the needs of his people. But we also see that he is willing to put forth this effort. He's willing to do all of this so he doesn't cause offense. What does that say about the love of Jesus? That he's willing to provide, yes, but he's willing to go to great lengths above and beyond so that he doesn't cause someone to stumble. What should that teach us about our daily lives, about how we navigate our day to day? That's our journey today in this untold story, if you will, in the Scriptures. Turn with us to Matthew chapter 17. We're going to work through the text together. Matthew chapter 17, if you would look at the chapter as a whole, It begins with the story of the Transfiguration. Jesus takes Pete, Jim, and John up on the mountain, and there Jesus' countenance is literally transfigured right before their eyes, and Moses and Elijah, the law and the prophets, appear with Jesus there on the mountain, and they come down from this high top experience, and they encounter a demon-possessed boy, and we see Jesus healing this little boy of his possession. And as chapter 17 is unfolding, as the narrative is continuing, the cross is in view. Cross is in view. Jesus very pointedly and plainly tells his disciples in verse 22 and 23, he says, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered over into the hands of men. They will kill him, and on the third day he will be raised to life." The narrative is picking up speed, if you will, as we go through Matthew 17. And that's the text right before where we pick up our teaching text today in verse 24. It says, "After Jesus and his disciples arrived in Capernaum, the collectors of the 2 drachma temple tax came to Peter and asked, 'Doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax?' 'Yeah, he does,' he replied." Typical Peter fashion, right? You see, Jesus and his crew, they would have been well known in this community. They had spent a lot of time in this surrounding region. Jesus had been teaching and performing miracles, and crowds had been coming, and even the confrontations with other religious leaders. Certainly that news had made it back to Capernaum by this point. And the tax collectors come out, and they ask with a little bit of slight in their voice, right? It's asked in the negative sense. Your teacher pays the tax like everyone else, right? You see, it's a question, but it's almost like a jab at Jesus at this point. The tax that was in question was a religious tax. It was collected from the people for the upkeep of the temple, for the upkeep and ongoing of the religious practice in Israel. And it stems all the way back to the time of Moses in the book of Exodus. And so as the tax collectors approach and ask Peter, without thinking much about his answer, Peter just affirms, "Yeah, Jesus is going to pay the tax." Let's continue in our narrative at the second half of 25. It says, "When Peter came into the house, Jesus was the first to speak. 'What do you think, Simon?' he asked. 'From who do the kings of the earth collect duty and taxes? From their own children, or from others?' 'From others,' Peter answered. 'Then the children are exempt,' Jesus said to him." Taking a trip back into this culture, the kings would not have levied taxes. They would have not collected taxes from those in their own household. They would have taxed everyone else, but not their own children and their own family. Children had a special place, a special relationship to the king, and they were exempt from these standard practices and rules. And I still use an exemption like this today. You see, even in my mid-30s, when I go to mom and dad's house, I still don't think twice about rummaging through the cabinets looking for something to eat. It's the privilege of being a son. What you got in the cabinets? Now, my wife and I, we've been married 10 years. She still won't do it. Still. Because there's just something special. Kids have a privilege, right? When I go to her parents' house, go to the in-laws' house, like, I ain't looking through them cabinets. There's something about being a kid, being a child. And it's that idea that Jesus is employing here. He's saying, look, the temple is his Father's house, right? The temple is the Father's house. And as the Son, Jesus was exempt from paying the tax. Jesus, as the Son of God, Messiah of his people, was absolutely free from this duty. No responsibility to fulfill it. And all those who were following after him fell in that exemption. But remember Peter, right? He didn't go check. He said, "Well, yeah, we're going to pay. So now what are we going to do? Now what?" Let's continue verse 27. Jesus speaking, he says, "But so that we may not cause offense, go to the lake and throw out your line. Take the first fish you catch, open its mouth, and you will find a 4 drachma coin. Take it and give it to them for my tax and yours." There's so many pieces of this story that are fascinating, right? We have the miraculous nature of the story with the fish, the coin in its mouth. Peter has to take his My Little Pony pole and go down to the lake and actually go fishing. All of these things add up, and they're such a fascinating story. But there's another detail here that shines out. Scholars believe that the coin that Jesus prophesied or said would be in this fish's mouth was what scholars call a Roman stater. A Roman stater. The value of this coin, one single stater, was worth enough to pay for two people's temple tax. So that means that Jesus is not only providing the tax that he owes, he is providing the tax that Peter owes as well. Jesus provided the ransom. And as chapter 17 has been growing and building and pointing to the cross, we see an almost prophetic picture here where Jesus provides for Peter, and very soon Jesus would provide on the cross the ransom for our sins. He provided for us. But for now, for Peter in the story, a coin will have to do. Jesus has set all of this in motion, putting the coin in the fish's mouth, put the fish on Peter's hook, sends this rough and tough seaworthy guy to do all that work, all to pay a tax they don't really owe. Think about that. All of this. Jesus is willing to do all this miraculous work. He's willing to send out Peter with his My Little Pony pole to the lake. He's willing to do all of that so that they won't cause offense to the temple tax collectors. It's worth remembering, the leaders of the temple would crucify Jesus. But all of this is set into motion so that they will not cause offense. The Greek word there for offense is scandalizo, and it carries this idea of offending or causing someone to stumble. It's this idea of putting a snare or a trap in someone's way, and it also can mean to entice someone to sin or to fall away. And so what we see is that Jesus was not willing in this moment to do any of those things to the temple tax collectors. He wasn't allowing that this little coin, this little measure, to get in the way of his greater kingdom purposes. Now, to be sure, if you look through the Gospels, you will find plenty of times where Jesus had no issue challenging and, yes, causing offense in declaring the truth of who he was and what he came to do. But you'll see that those times when religious leaders were offended, it was over foundational truth. It was over who Jesus was, his mission. And he's looking at this simple temple tax and saying, no, this ain't worth causing offense over. His kingdom work was far more valuable in that moment than a silly coin. Go pull it from a fish's mouth. It's fine. As I was working through this week, this part of the story really stood out to me. Jesus is willing to do the miraculous, right? He's willing to do the miraculous all for the sake of not causing the temple tax collectors to stumble, to fall. And so here's what's messing with me. If his heart, if his way of living, if he is willing to do the miraculous so that he wouldn't cause unnecessary offense, shouldn't I be willing to at least do the ordinary in such a way as to not cause offense? If Jesus was willing to go this far not to cause the offense of someone who was working for an organization who would ultimately crucify him, as followers of Jesus, shouldn't we at least be willing to do the ordinary things in such a way as to not cause offense, not to get in the way of the greater kingdom work? You see, we live in a cultural moment right now where causing offense to someone that we disagree with is almost worn as a badge of honor. I got him. told them. It's celebrated. It's incentivized on social media through likes and shares, and our algorithms keep feeding us more and more and more. We've even pulled Kermit the Frog sipping Lipton tea into making our point, right? Through memes. It's popularized across bumper stickers. Feelings don't matter. Facts over feeling. All that stuff. It's noise. Look, I wasn't on social media today. I didn't walk through the parking lot. It's not about you, but this is just saying, look, let's pause and slow down and look around. I don't think we have to look too far to see that people who are professing faith in Jesus, following after him, are joining in the fun of causing offense. And friends, it's just not the way of Jesus. It's just not the way of Jesus. The heart and model of Jesus that we see here in this little in-the-corner passage, if you will, we see it that he's willing to go the extra mile, willing to do the miraculous so that he doesn't cause unnecessary offense. Shouldn't we be willing to do the same? Shouldn't we see that his kingdom is our ultimate priority and allegiance? Today, when we go out to eat, when the server at the restaurant feels about today, time change Sunday like we all do, give me another cup of coffee. Maybe the server doesn't refill our drink, or maybe gets my order wrong, or whatever. Like, can I still be overly gracious and kind and compassionate? Can I still leave a big tip so that I would not cause an offense because we did stop to pray before our meal? Can I do that not to cause an offense to the witness I gave through praying? When that person on social media is posting about this or that cause that I really can't get along with, like, can I just keep scrolling on by instead of commenting? And when the conversation turns to harsh sayings, like, I don't know how someone can be a Christian and vote for so-and-so candidate. Like, this is just the noise that we hear all the time. Can I resist the urge to like and to share and join in the fight? Can I push back to prioritize the kingdom of God and not causing offense? Jesus was willing to go the extra mile. Will we as his people do the same? We do the same. You see, there's a heart displayed here, right? It's the heart of Jesus. Will we allow that same heart, that same spirit modeled by Jesus in our passage, will we allow that heart to be our heart, to allow his discernment to be our guide and our authority? Will we go the extra mile not to get in the way of the move of the kingdom of God? When I saw that our teaching text this week was about fishing, you might imagine I was excited, but I'm not sure I was prepared for what all was in this passage. What all was involved when you start teasing it out. But really, that's the essence of our series, right? Like, let's dive deep, let's slow down, let's get into it. Never know what God's going to reveal to us. As we conclude today, the band's going to make their way forward. I want us to focus in on this idea of God's provision. I think we're well enough aware of the call of Jesus to be kind and compassionate and gracious, not causing offense. And we see that here in the text. We see his heart in full display. But we also see a miraculous power that is still available to us today. We see God's ability to do things we cannot imagine to provide for our needs for his children. And friends, I've gotten to witness this. God still provides for his people. Every year we take the drummer boy offering. If you were around for this Advent season, you heard us talking about that. Drummer boy is an offering we take across all of our campuses at Christmas time, and the money goes directly to meeting needs within our campuses, within our church. And this past year, I heard a story from a gentleman in our church that received a miracle of God's provision through the drummer boy offering. He and his wife were going through this season facing some difficult health challenges. He was having to miss a lot of work, to be there for a doctor's appointments, to care for her, to do the things that life was demanding they do. And finances were tight because we all know that bills don't ever take a week off, right? Like, they just keep coming. And so they're watching this, and he said, I didn't know what I was going to do. He said, I haven't been able to work full weeks. I was missing time. And all the while, we knew that this was going to hurt because we really need the money. And he said, I got home, and there was an envelope in the mail with a letter from the church explaining that the Lord had put us on the hearts of the leaders there to receive a check for the drummer boy offering. And he starts to shed tears. He says, Pastor. He said, Pastor, the amount of that check that the church gave, combined with the little bit of hours I was able to work, came out to the exact amount as if I'd worked a full week. He said, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. That's more than a coin in a fish's mouth. Friends, just like in our teaching text today, God still provides miraculously for his people. He still provides. So friend, I don't know what you need today. I don't know what it is in your life, what challenges have come your way, that you find yourself in a position of needing provision from the Lord. I'm going to ask you today, would you be willing to humble yourself? You say, humble myself. I mean, I don't know about you, but when things get tough, we try to drill down, right? We try to pull a little harder. We press a little farther. We try to do it. Maybe we don't think we need to trouble God with that ask or whatever that is. Maybe it's just pride that says, I'm going to figure it out. So yeah, humble ourselves and ask. You may have seen some nickels on the top of the tables when you walked in this morning. I can testify, if you go into a bank and ask for 150 nickels, they're going to look at you funny. I would invite you to take one of those coins today. We're going to pray before we close, but I would invite you on your way out to take a nickel and place that somewhere you can see it. And remember Matthew 17 today, that Jesus is still providing for his people. Put that nickel somewhere you can see it and be reminded. Let's pray together. If you have a need today, will you bring that before the Father? Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for how even the small verses, the small notes and stories that seem obscure to us, Lord, still are revealing truth. Revealing truth about who you are and how your heart lives out. And God, we see today you are a God who miraculously provides for his people. Lord, as you taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread, Lord. That's our prayer today. Lord, forgive us the times when we have not asked you, when we've allowed pride, our self-determination, our own will, doing it our way to get in the way of truly seeking you for what we need. Lord, we're laying that down today. We're laying that down as we ask you to provide what we need. That's finances or insurance or a home or transportation, whatever that is. God, we're bringing that need to you. And Lord, what I cannot get beyond this text, you met the need in a really weird way. So Lord, may we not limit you in how you provide for the need we're asking for today. May we be open to the move of your Spirit. If it is a 20 in a fish's mouth, God, we'll do it. But Lord, give us eyes to see and a heart humble enough to hear your voice, to see your leading, even if your provision comes in a way we're not expecting. May we surrender even that to you today. We love you, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Would you stand and worship with us this morning?
Thank you so much for listening today. You can email us at info@cotnaz.org for any questions about our church. When you're done listening today, please subscribe to this channel for updates and new episodes.